This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Well, I am really, really honored, people. I think it is very, very cool. Many of you have suggested that I become our next Surgeon General. I was like, really, really, Dave? Really, me? Me become Surgeon General. And I'm very, very honored, I did have to kind of Google it because I really don't know. I don't have a clear idea as to what the job description is. I mean, I remember C. Everett Koop. Okay, I thought he did a phenomenal job. But lately, I mean, I just don't hear much about what the Surgeon General does. So I Googled it. And the best place to learn what a Surgeon General does is Wikipedia. So let's take a look here. So the Surgeon General of the United States, if this was me, if Donald Trump said, Dr. Dahlia, I've been listening to your show, and it's very good, and you don't bring up a lot of WikiLeaks, but you like the wall, and you're hired. Okay, let's say he does that. And I'm like, okay, that's all good. So the Surgeon General of the United States is the operational head of the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corp., the PHSECC, and is the leading spokesperson on matters of public health in the federal government of the United States. The Surgeon General's office and staff are known as the Office of the Surgeon General. Ooh, I'd get an office. Ooh, well, that sounds good. Now, the U.S. Surgeon General is nominated by the President of the United States and then has to be confirmed by the Senate. The Surgeon General serves a 4-year term in office, depending on whether or not the current Assistant Secretary for Health is a PHSCC commissioned officer, is either the senior or next most senior uniformed officer of the holding the rank of, okay, whatever. The current Surgeon General is Vivek Murthy. He was confirmed December 15th, 2014. So, see, here's the thing. Usually with public health, we hear, from the CDC a lot. We hear from the, I've been doing a health show for years. I think there's only been a couple things that I really quoted Surgeon General Murthy on. I remember he's been fighting narcotic overdoses, so he's been telling us to cut back on our narcotics. But it's a shame because there's a chance that he could be doing amazing stuff. We just don't know about it. So if I was Surgeon General, I'd have some, real cool music, dun-dun-dun! Surgeon General Dahlia, wait a second, it would be Vice Admiral Dahlia Wax. Ooh, that would sound cool. So what are the responsibilities? What do we have to do? Okay, well, let me see here. Surgeon General reports to the Assistant Secretary for Health. Ooh, I hope they're nice. Who may be a 4-star admiral in the United States Public Health Service, Commission Corp. Okay, I get along with military very well because I think they are awesome. They are the bomb. All right, so that's good. And he serves as principal advisor to the Secretary of Health and Human Services on public health and scientific issues. Okay, hopefully the Secretary of Health and Human Services is not going to be the same one that crafted Obamacare. So if I become Surgeon General, I don't have to yell at them and smack them upside the head. The Surgeon General is the overall head of the Commission Corp, a 6,500-member group of health professionals who are on call 24 hours a day and can be dispatched by the Secretary of the Health and Human Services or the Assistant Secretary of Health in the event of a public health emergency. Ah, 6,500 doctors who are on call 24 hours a day. That's pretty cool. Does that mean you have to be on call? Probably. The Surgeon General is also the ultimate award authority for several public health awards and decorations. So when you do the Surgeon General's medallion, so there's a lot of, okay, that's cool. I love going to these, you know, these big ceremonies and going, that'd be pretty, pretty fun. And then the office also periodically issues health warnings. So remember the Surgeon General's warning label on all packages of American tobacco cigarettes in 1966? That alcoholic beverages got labels in 1988? So the Surgeon General could do that. So how did this all happen? Well, according to Wikipedia, 1798, Congress established a Marine Hospital Fund. It's a network of hospitals that cared for the sick and disabled seamen. The Marine Hospital Fund was reorganized along military lines in 1870, then became the Marine Hospital Service, which is the predecessor of today's United States Public Health Service. The service became a separate bureau of the Treasury Department, own staff, own administration, headquarters of Washington, and then the position of a supervising surgeon. See, not a supervising family doc. Okay, you know, the surgeons are kind of the big head honchos. I get that. Okay, so, now it doesn't look like you have to be a surgeon. This is very, very cool. After 141 years under the Treasury Department, the service came under the Federal Security Agency back in 1939, then the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in 1953, and then finally the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Now, usually they, make some noise, like 1986, so Vice Admiral C. Everett Koop, who I believe was a pediatrician. He had a report on AIDS and a call for some form of AIDS education in the early grades of elementary school and gave full support for using condoms for disease prevention. Back in the 60s, Surgeon General Luther Terry published a report saying smoking may be hazardous to the health. Okay. And his committee defined cigarette smoking, nicotine, not an addiction. But that was back in 1964. In 1994, Dr. Jocelyn Elders had spoken at a conference on AIDS. She asked whether it would be appropriate to promote masturbation. Remember that? As a means of preventing young people from engaging in risky forms of sexual activity. And she replied, I think that is part of human sexuality and perhaps it should be taught. All right. She was fired by Bill Clinton in December 1994. I forget why. All right. And then Dr. Regina Benjamin was under President Barack Obama. She resigned. And then we had Dr. Vivek Murthy. So honestly, I would be very honored. I don't think they're going to choose me as Surgeon General because, you see, I just figured out what it was. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY. Don't go away.
Speak. All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So request to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite Microbite Liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protobite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protobite is nutrition you can feel. Protobite is nutrition that gets in.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Paid attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you ever wanted to quit your job and be your own boss? Interested in investing in real estate, flipping homes, paying off your mortgage in 5 to 10 years, making up to $10,000 in commissions while you learn? Go to WealthCreationInstitution.com now. Find out why we're ranked in the top 2% of the fastest growing companies in the United States, according to Inc. 5000. Limited positions available. Go now. WealthCreationInstitution.com. That's WealthCreationInstitution.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
On the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Tom, who was working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. We have more medical news to get to, but most of the headlines have been surrounding, obviously, everything that happened with the election. And Donald Trump went to the White House to meet President Obama. That was the first time. And very interesting, considering, you know, Donald Trump, when he spoke about Obama, acted like he knew him to a T. But it was actually the first time they met. And so this is the first step when you pass the presidential baton, right? And President Obama didn't really smile. You know, it looked like it was a very icy sort of exchange. Trump appeared to keep us cool. Trump had his poker face on, even though, you know, inside he was probably going, "Dee!" But, you know, he kept his cool. Obama, of course, very, very concerned that his legacy is going to get destroyed. Even though Obamacare really isn't a legacy, that was one of the biggest disasters ever. And so I'm not really sure what these discussions are. And there was talk that this was probably one of the most uncomfortable, kind of bumpy meetings between president-elects and presidents. But it's very interesting because the BBC reports, no, there were others who might have even been worse. Excuse me. Apparently, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. They say the transition between President John Adams and Vice President Thomas Jefferson in the tumultuous election of the year 1800 was very, very difficult. This is according to John Vile, a political science professor at Middle Tennessee State University and author of Presidential Winners and Losers, Words of Victory and Concession. They had a very, very bad campaign. It was considered one of the most significant transitions of power. It was a bitterly fought election with Thomas Jefferson, who was a Democrat-Republican, defeating Mr. Adams, who was a Federalist. And I guess the presidential electors failed to make clear whether they were voting for Mr. Jefferson or his running mate, Aaron Burr. So there was actually a tie between the two men, and the House of Representatives had to decide on Thomas Jefferson's. I guess John Adams wasn't even in Washington for Mr. Jefferson's inaugural ceremony. I guess he left. Herbert Hoover and FDR, they obviously did not like each other. The 1932 election was a pretty rough one. And obviously Herbert Hoover was in the depth of the Depression. And so FDR called him a fat, timid Capon? I don't really know what that is. Probably a dirty word back then in the 30s. So the two men didn't like each other, didn't trust each other. They say Mr. Roosevelt dismissed President Hoover's repeated appeals for joint actions before the transition, like issuing an emergency proclamation to limit bank withdrawals, etc. Roosevelt did not like a lot of Hoover's ideas. Roosevelt wanted to demonstrate his administration was a big contrast. And he did. That's what gave rise to New Deal. A lot of the social programs, and he thought Hoover did not do enough to help Americans. And apparently on March 1933, when there was inauguration day, the two sat in silence, and they really didn't seem to look like they got along. Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower did not seem to get along. Now, they did work together in World War II with the creation of NATO. I guess Eisenhower went to the White House in 1948, and President Truman entertained the idea of working to nominate Eisenhower as a Democratic candidate for president, but the military general wanted to be with the Republicans, so he ran for office, obviously. Yeah. There was also some issues with the Korean War, etc. And so they did not get along. They said President-elect Eisenhower ignored a pre-Christmas White House lunch invite. And on Inauguration Day, he refused to greet Mr. Truman before they left together for the ceremony. So you see, you know, here we are with CNN and MSNBC and Fox, and we're seeing all the bad blood, and we're seeing all the dirty laundry, but it sounds like, you know, Truman was actually, you know, attacking Eisenhower personally and professionally, saying unfit to be president. So, I mean, my guess is people were just as rude and grumpy. I mean, you know, back then, what about Carter and Reagan? Carter lost the re-election bid in 1980, all right, and he fought hard. And he said that Mr. Reagan was not paying attention when they two met at the White House. So when they had that meeting, okay, together, he said Ronald Reagan wasn't even listening to him. Republican advisor Richard Darman recalled in the New York Times article in 2000 that during the meeting, Mr. Carter attempted to explain to Reagan that a CIA officer began briefings at 7 a.m. each day. So Jimmy Carter was trying to tell him, look, you know, 7 a.m. each day, the CIA is going to give you briefings. And Ronald Reagan interrupted him and said, well, he's sure going to have to wait a long while for me. So Ronald Reagan was like, oh, hell to the no, I'm not going to be getting up at 7 a.m. Mr. Carter has spent the remaining days of his presidency tirelessly working to free the American hostages in Iran, which didn't happen until, I believe, Ronald Reagan took office January 20th. So that was obviously tough. What about Clinton and Bush? Now, very interesting with Clinton and Bush. What we heard, and again, these are reports, and I don't have the source in front of me. I remember reading this about 8-9 years ago, and even before. But when Bill Clinton left the White House for Bush, reports are it was like a fraternity party had destroyed the building. It was so, areas of it looked like they partied their butts off and left the biggest mess ever. And then they took out every W from all the keyboards and typewriters so that George W. Bush couldn't type. So all the W's were gone. And I don't know if that's the classiest thing to do. I don't know if this is what presidents do, where they leave the White House in shambles, literally, not figuratively, but literally. And a smoother transition would have been nice. Okay, that's kind of a sore, but anyway, they say President Clinton invited George Bush for coffee before Inauguration Day in 2001. And he kept the president-elect waiting for 10 minutes. All right, well, 10 minutes. I guess George W. Bush was very obsessive about time. Said he was noted for locking the door once cabinet meetings started. And if you're a cabinet member and you ran late, you didn't get in. So Bush was supposedly like that, where he was very on time. And then let me see, Gore had lost the election to Bush, and I guess let me see what happened there with the I don't think then he came to the office, so I'm not sure. But anyway, I just read this here from BBC. I thought that was pretty fascinating. But people never liked each other. It's just nowadays everything is so out in the open, which is very frustrating. You know, we were talking about the Access Hollywood, tape of the way, Trump was talking about women. And I think we'd be really naive to think that a lot of men, in Washington, do not talk like that. And, I just don't know, how we move forward with these elections now that everything is so apparent. You will see there could be a naked picture. There could be a picture in a bathing suit, in someone's underwear. This is what you're going to see. And, I think I liked it the old way, where we, what we didn't know, ignorance was bliss. And this is somebody who's running the country. He seems presidential. He seems like a leader. And, the less somebody knows about somebody, the better, especially when it comes to foreign countries. And now, it's just so, we lose a lot of respect and we lose a lot of the awe of the presidency. Now, but that the good thing is that does put a lot of pressure onto Donald Trump to be a substantive or have a lot of substance with his presidency. So, if all the pictures and all the hoopla and the social media crap is, ridiculing him and disrespecting him, all right, so let's see what you could do. Turn this country around. You made a lot of promises, and these promises sounded good with health care. It sounded good with the economy. Let's see what you could do. If you know money, and I know you've infused a lot of money into New York City, I know you've created a lot of jobs, do that. It's going to be very fascinating to see a non-politician that has had business success, which is why a lot of us were very excited about Mitt Romney. I mean, in one of the worst recessions we've ever lived through in our lifetime, what happens if you put a businessman in there? It'll be very interesting to see, rather than just relying on advisors, even though we're hoping that, Trump gets a good team of advisors. But interesting stuff. 1-877-DOT-DELLY.
I got a bad case. use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in a best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com, hashtag Nephilim.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you feeling embarrassed or stuck because you can't focus or concentrate? I have a confession to make. I spent years unable to think clearly, like I was in a fog. I was going through the motions, running my companies, and I hated feeling mentally sluggish. I couldn't get ahead like this. It's no secret. The powers that be want us dumbed down. Chemicals, fluoride, our brains are under siege, and we are experiencing lower IQs. But now there is a weapon to fight back and win. Introducing DNA Evolve, a revolutionary breakthrough in the category of cognitive enhancers called nootropics. I've been using DNA Evolve and couldn't feel better. For me, it works. It feels great to get things done again and get ahead. Try a free sample for yourself at DNAEvolveSample.com. That's DNAEvolveSample.com. Supplies are limited, so go to DNAEvolveSample.com right now.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So you guys are going to see this headline, which is very interesting, talking about your risk of getting the flu may depend on the year you were born. Now, I know that's going to sound a little bit confusing, but if we break it down, it's basically talking about what you were exposed to as a child may protect you in the future. Remember with the swine flu? a lot of seniors did not get sick with the swine flu back in 2009 because back in the 1950s, they were infected with a very similar strain, so they had natural immunity. So researchers found that the people in the study who were born in 1968 or later were less susceptible to a certain strain of the flu than those born before 1968 because this older group had been more exposed to a similar strain as children. Researchers looked at data from more than 1,400 people, predominantly in Asia and the Middle East, who had been infected at any point in their lives with two strains of the bird flu, H5N1 or H7N9. The new findings, they say, could help researchers predict which age groups are more at risk for infection and severe illnesses when we have future flu pandemics. And the study published today in the journal Science, a pandemic is basically an illness that is very widespread and hits a lot of flu, as opposed to an epidemic that happens in more of a localized area. Epicenter pandemic is all over. They say in the past, we always assume that when pandemic flu viruses emerge from animals, the human population is in an immunological blank state. It's according to a lead study author who's a graduate student, Caitlin Gostick at UCLA. So researchers assume that everyone's immune system would be defenseless against a new widespread strain of the flu. But new results suggest the opposite, that a lot of people might actually be immune against a new strain of flu virus from animals if they were exposed to a similar strain as a child. So I say scientists have previously noted that a person's age appeared to play a role in determining which virus that an individual got during flu outbreaks. So H5N1 typically affected children and young adults rather than older people. The other virus, H7N9, was found predominantly in older adults. So in this new study, the researchers found that the dividing line between the two age groups appeared to be 1968. Which was the year of the so-called Hong Kong flu pandemic. The virus apparently that caused the Hong Kong flu replaced other flu viruses from a genetically different virus group that had usually been responsible for most of the flu. And this H7N9 strain of the virus infected older adults is genetically similar to the Hong Kong flu. And so according to the study, if you were born before 1968, you might not have been exposed to this, this flu. So people who got the Hong Kong flu in 1968. Have antibodies built up against a H7N9 strain today. That's what they're saying. So they say if older adults were exposed to the strains of flu that were common before 1968, those were more genetically similar to an H5N1 strain. So older individuals appear to be more protected against H5N1, whereas younger individuals more protected against H7N9. They say, conversely, people born in 1968 or later may have been exposed to that flu-like strain as children, and so they're less likely to get this now, which we talked about. So, your first flu. They say the type of virus that you are exposed to as a kid, all right, and the first flu that you get may determine what you are able to be immune to later in life. Now, many of us were born before flu vaccines were made, obviously. And so many of us could have possibly developed some really nice immunity. Now, this is not to be an argument against the flu vaccine. I am a huge fan of the flu vaccine. But what do we do about the concept of we are not allowing our immunity and our bodies to do what they do best? Okay, I don't know what the answer is. Okay, I am a huge fan of us. Okay, I mean, you're building. I love the fact that once you get chickenpox, you don't get chickenpox again. The problem is, if you do get the real chickenpox, you're at risk for shingles later. And what if, what about those that don't that end up getting the vaccine? Are they going to be less at risk for shingles? And flu kills. I mean, do we really want to experiment with your kid? The other thing, too, is some of these pandemic illnesses that, come and get you, like Ebola. Okay, Ebola was a virus. You don't want to risk that one trying to build up immunity. Now, there has been a lot of discussion that those people that did survive, okay, are immune to Ebola. And some people were infected, built up antibodies, And now they're going to be forever protected against that strain of Ebola. The problem is, as many kids, many thousands of individuals died. We're not going to take that chance. So when should you allow your immunity to be tested and when not? It's tough. It's a tough call. The younger you are when you get exposed, which is why we do, you know, the reason why we do vaccines, you know, on babies is one, babies are a very vulnerable population, but two, the younger you prime their immune system, the more permanent it is. So, you know, you can't say, well, why don't we wait? Let the kid get an infection, and if it's really bad, we learn our lesson, and then we just, when they get better, you know, give them a vaccine. What if you don't have that chance? Okay, it's tough. You know, I vaccinated my kids. I was nervous. I have to tell you, I was very, very nervous. I have a healthy baby. Healthy baby kids. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, do I want to see what their immunity does? Just like with a fever. You know, when you get a fever, that's your body trying to fight off the infection. And what do we do when there's a fever? We immediately try to lower it with Tylenol or lower it with acetaminophen. However, me being a doctor and very, very well-versed on human responses to illness because my partner in my office was a homeopath and also a family doctor. But one thing I noticed with my son is when I let the fever brew so he could fight his infection, he was listless. He wouldn't drink. He wouldn't eat anything. When I gave him some Tylenol and he felt better, he started getting his fluids in. And he got better quicker. So I found that very, very difficult to digest that here I am, I'm stopping a natural body's response to fight infection, but he did better when I gave him the Tylenol. And a febrile seizure is nothing to mess with. You have a big spike in temperature or a big drop in temperature, you could seize. You don't want that with your child. So, you know, then it comes to infection. Okay, do I let my child get the flu and let him build up an immunity? That's going to be something that's going to surface. All right, those discussions are going to come into play. The more they find that certain groups have immunity and have natural immunity because of what they were exposed to, the discussion of how much should we vaccinate is going to come back into the headlines, shall we say. I mean, that's going to come to the forefront of many discussions. Now, thank God, we don't hear of polio cases. Yes, there's this mysterious polio-like illness going around that's scaring the hell out of us, but we're not dealing with polio. We're not dealing with tetanus. Many of us are not dealing with measles anymore. And these are things that were pretty bad. So I am very proud of our vaccine protocol, and I'm very proud of what we've been able to do to protect our kids from dying. But do we really want to take the chance with the flu? I don't know what the answer is. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Yeah, this is interesting. IMDb sues the state of California over a law requiring the website to remove an actor's age if asked. You know, I always wondered about that because my age is all over the internet. My age, I think, is on IMDb also. What if I don't want anybody to know my age? 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. You've been hearing a lot about MyPillow, and I'm here to tell you, wow, it works. I have a big head and a big mouth, and falling asleep at night can be difficult. With MyPillow, I'm able to fall asleep faster and stay asleep, and I don't wake up with neck pain like I do with some of my other store-bought pillows. MyPillow is my go-to pillow every night, and when I'm in the studio during the day, Shaky Boo takes his naps with his furry little tushy on it. So get your MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use promotional code DDW. Or you can call 1-800-419-1379. With MyPillow, I'm able to fall asleep faster and stay asleep. MyPillow is my go-to pillow every night. So get your MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use promotional code DDW. That's MyPillow.com, promotional code DDW, or 1-800-419-1379, promotional code DDW. It'll be the best night of sleep ever.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-957-9652. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now 1-800-957-9652. That's 1-800-957-9652. 1-800-957-9652.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Dr. Dahlia Show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. We got a doctor, a listener of ours, who wants to close his practice and teach, just like I did. Okay, hold on. So he wants to know what it takes to become a professor. What extra credentials do you need? Ooh, that's a tough one.
Okay, because, you know, Andy also asked, what does he need to go into radio? And look, I'm not like that, where you know, I'm very territorial with my turf. Let's answer the professor question first, and then I'll tell you how to get into radio. I think I'm a very, very happy girl. A very, very happy girl. So many of you guys know that, when Obamacare kicked in, a lot of the patients, weren't happy, but I didn't realize how devastating it was for doctors who didn't work for a company but worked for themselves. And so you having the neighborhood clinic where people walk in and you're living on insurance premiums, right? You know, or not premiums, but insurance payments. So if the patient's copay is $5 or $10, the insurance gives you another $40 or $30. It stunk. It wasn't a lot of money, but you can make a living. Once Obamacare came into play, patients' copays went up, and insurance kept saying goes to deductible. So we give you zero, bill the patient the extra $30, $40. So patients with high deductibles were coming in less, and the mailbox, rather than having $30 or $40 or maybe with a physical $60 sitting in there, you know, checks of those nature, it was zero, 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 zero. So we took out mortgages, we downsized, I was answering phones, filing, to try to keep the jobs of my employees while money was getting lower and lower. And it got to the point where, you know, I always knew I was going to teach one day. I've always wanted to teach. And so when Toro University offered me a position in teaching, I took it. Now, do I have a teaching degree? No. Most professors, okay, depending on their specialty, don't necessarily have a teaching degree. But you have to be an expert in your field that you're teaching. So, I mean, if let's say an engineering school wanted me to teach engineering, that would be a very hard sell. But if a school wants somebody to teach communications, if somebody wants me to teach public health or teach how to excite the community for a cause and community service and health related needs and things like that, then I do have the background for it. And so you don't necessarily at the university level always have to have a teaching degree. I think having teaching experience helps. I mean, I've taught Sunday school. I've taught students. I've done public speaking. I've had, you know, years of experience. But, no, I do not have an actual degree in teaching. But that doesn't mean you can't teach at a school. If you are very, very well-versed on anatomy and you have your education in that field, you could teach anatomy. Just like if you're an engineer, you could teach engineering. So I even teach medical Spanish. You have to become an expert in what you're doing, and you have to be able to teach it. Now, where that teaching degree comes in very, very handy is I remember when I was in college, and I took an engineering physics class. I was in honors classes, and there was this world-renowned physicist that was teaching us, but I didn't learn from him. I didn't think he was teaching. He was lecturing, but he wasn't teaching. And so, what people learn when they get a teaching degree, and any of you teachers out there, I mean, I'd love to hear from you, and God bless what you guys do, is it's one thing to be heard, but to be listened to, that's a whole nother art. And so one thing I do with the students, and one thing that's my knack, is I may not be able to teach as an expert on a variety of subjects, but I'm able to get things into their heads that's memorable, ways to remember certain concepts and certain things. Now, those of us that have tutored, we've picked up those skills a lot, but we're maybe tutoring. We're not necessarily teaching. But if you could get a concept, you could hit it home, you could get them engaged, you could educate them, you could enlist them, you could do the three E's, going, you know, look, you know, this is why, you know, if a student, after their lecture, can turn around and teach it to somebody else and really understand the logic, by the, you don't have to believe in a concept. Like, let's say we're talking about evolution, in school. There's an evolutionary class talking about, you know, from apes to man, etc. Let's say, you know, that's not how you think the world was created. That's fine. But a good teacher is somebody that teaches the concept, and you're able to turn around and teach that same concept after you understood it. In medicine, we always say, see one, do one, teach one. So you don't have, you know, you only get to sometimes see something once. Then you have to do it. And then you have to be able to turn around and teach it. Because how does medical school work? You're a student. Then later you're an intern. Then later you're a resident. So there's always somebody under you that you have to turn around and teach and show. And you know, we attendings have to make sure that first time they got it. Got to make sure they got it that first time, because then they got to do it on a patient, and you want it right that time also, and then you want to make sure that they can then teach it. So you as a teacher in medical schools can't screw up any path of the way. You cannot screw up. You have to make sure that you taught that concept first time out. And so there's a lot of pressure. But that's why I was hired. I mean, I don't like to sit here and brag or anything, but, you know, I can't cook. I definitely can't dance. I'm not a gymnast, you know, and some of you don't like my singing, but I can teach. Okay? If it's something I know how to convert it into something that they can, you know, that they can hopefully conceptualize. And that's for the average student. Some students you just can't teach. Some of them they have to learn a different way. You know, and they're self-learners. So, then radio. Okay, you know, how does a doctor get into radio? Well, my first few years, it was costly. You know, nobody just gave you airtime. You had to pay. You had to buy airtime. And buying airtime is very, very expensive. But if you're going into radio to be a star, don't go into radio to be a star. Go into radio because you want to do a public service. And that's what I did. So it was very easy for me to put that into a charity budget. And so I went on air to teach. I didn't do it to sell. I didn't do it to. Now, yes, the most successful radio people out there know how to sell something. And you have to. I mean, it's a money-driven business. You can't. Airtime is very, very expensive. You know, just like TV time, it costs a lot of money. There's crew, there's staff, etc. But if you want to go into radio, my question is, you know, why? Is it because you want to teach and you love the idea of having an audience that you could help? That's the most rewarding thing ever. I love how every day I get to be on air. It is the most rewarding thing to be able to work with people like Tom and GCN. I love it. But if you're going into radio because you want to be a star, there's going to be a lot of realism, there's going to be a lot of, unfortunately, reality checks. I'm very honored to have reached the level of fame that I did, and that I have. But again, you don't go into it doing, you know, you don't go into it going, you know, I want to be the richest person. I want to be the most famous person. That doesn't happen. Just like when you create something, you know, you have to want to create it to, you know, create something. You don't create something because you want to, you know, own stock that rises. Okay. So you got it, you know, 1-877 Doc Dolly. Great question.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.